Westminster Confession, Chapter 3, Paragraph 6. Chapter 3, Paragraph 6. As God hath appointed the elect unto glory, so hath he, by the eternal and most free purpose of his will, foreordained all the means thereunto. Wherefore they who are elected, being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ, are effectually called unto faith in Christ, by his Spirit working in due season, are justified, adopted, sanctified, and kept by his power through faith unto salvation. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ, effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified, and saved, but the elect only. So this is speaking of election in eternity fulfilled in time. Election in eternity fulfilled in time. First of all then, God has appointed the means, that is, the redeeming work of Christ and the renewing and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There you'll see God's election, according to his own foreknowledge, or that is, setting his love upon, it comes to effect in the sanctification of the Spirit, that is, referring initially to the new birth, the renewing of the Spirit, which produces obedience to the gospel and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, that is, justification and cleansing. So election in eternity comes to effect in the work of the Holy Spirit in time, producing a willingness to believe and justification, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So their election is before the foundation of the world. The goal of it, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and the means in time, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there the renewing of the Holy Spirit and the continuing work of the Holy Spirit, making the people of God holy, is traced to God's eternal purpose that it should be so. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So there again, it refers to eternal election and the means by which that comes to effect, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So God has appointed the means of accomplishing the redemption and applying the redemption of the elect. Secondly then, redemption by Christ. Redemption by Christ. Wherefore, they who are elected, being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ. Here to digress just momentarily, most of the Westminster Assembly took what is known as the infralapsarian position. Now, don't be alarmed if you don't understand this. It's beyond the human mind to fully understand anyway. But what this is referring to is that God, in his eternal purpose, the logical order of his eternal decrees, that he decreed the fall, the lapse, the fall, prior to election. Whereas a minority of the Westminster Assembly took what is known as the supralapsarian position, that is, that the decree of election to glory logically was prior to the decree to permit the fall. But here, they don't enter into that very wisely, and they simply, the confession simply speaks of the elect as they became, that is, fallen in Adam. Being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ. They leave the whole matter to one side. As I say, don't be concerned if you can't follow that, but that's simply to explain the wording at this point. They simply treat the elect as those who in time were fallen in Adam and redeemed by Christ. They are redeemed by Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So the appointment to salvation rather than to wrath comes to effect in Christ dying for us. Christ died for the elect of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The Lord Jesus came to redeem his people from all iniquity, both the guilt of it by his bearing that guilt and the practice of it by his delivering them from the bondage of sin, which was part of the penalty of original sin. Thirdly then, effectual calling. Effectual calling. The confession of faith goes on to say they're redeemed by Christ, are effectually called unto faith in Christ by his Spirit, working in due season, are justified, adopted, sanctified. This is telling us that God's decree of election comes into effect, not only in Christ dying for the elect, but in the Holy Spirit renewing their hearts so as to make them willing and able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there Predestination comes to effect in the case of the elect in their calling. That's referring to effectual calling, not just the outward call of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1 makes the distinction between those who stumble at the word, it's to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to them that are called, Christ the wisdom of God and the power of God. And their calling can't possibly mean simply the outward call of the gospel, because those who stumble and those who dismiss the gospel are outwardly called. They hear the gospel. That's the obvious meaning of that passage, that whilst all hear the outward call of the gospel, some stumble and some deride that gospel, but those who are called, effectually called, that is, called in so as that the Spirit of God works in their hearts, well, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on his name. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, back to where we were. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We referred to this verse earlier because it shows that it's by Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. But here we note also that the blessing of adoption through Christ is also part of the outworking of God's eternal plan of salvation, the outworking of his decree of election. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So here again, Christ, having died for his people, he calls them and brings them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he appoints the time and the outward means by which the truth which he causes them to believe comes to them, whether it's the nurture of the Christian home, public preaching, the written word, the witness of Christian people. God appoints the means by which the truth comes to his elect, as well as renewing their hearts so that they believe it. You'll notice here that justification and adoption, like sanctification, do not take place until the appointed season of effectual calling. You see that it says they are effectually called unto faith in Christ by his Spirit, working in due season, are justified, adopted, sanctified. It envisages that these blessings come in time and are the outworking of God's decree. This is made more explicit later on. But the Westminster Assembly, in line with God's word, rejected the notion that the elect are justified from eternity. They are not. By nature, they are children of wrath, even as others. That doesn't mean they're like the children of wrath in their sinful nature, that's true. But it means that their status by nature is that they are under the wrath of God until effectually called. They are not justified from eternity. We must distinguish between God's decree to justify, which is eternal, and the execution of that decree, which takes place in time. And that's why in Romans 8 it says, whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he did predestinate, that's eternity, Them he also in time called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Justification takes place in time, even though God's purpose to bestow it is eternal. And so they are, by the Holy Spirit, made willing to believe on Christ. Contrary to the natural instincts of all sinners by nature. By nature, none of us would ever trust Christ. None of us. And it's by the power of the Spirit that any of us trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, kept by the power of God. They are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This subject is dealt with more fully later on. But it's telling us that those who are renewed by the Spirit and called to faith in Christ, they are kept in the faith until they are glorified. Fifthly, only the elect. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ, effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified and saved, but the elect only. You see that all these things are confined to the elect. Only the elect are redeemed by Christ. Christ died to redeem only the elect. The elect are a multitude which no man can number, but they are not everybody. Christ died to redeem only the elect. Text given, John 17 and verse 9. John 17 verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. There Christ, as the mediator, prays for those given to him by the Father in eternity, that he should be their redeemer. And he prays exclusively for them. And Christ's mediatorial work as the one who offered himself and who intercedes is confined to the elect of God. So in John 10, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, ye are not of my sheep. He's not talking about everybody. I lay down my life for the sheep. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So Christ died to redeem the elect. And the blessings of Christ purchased by his redeeming work are bestowed only upon the elect. John chapter 6 and verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given him unto him of my Father. So only the elect come to Christ, only the elect believe, only the elect are justified, and only the elect are adopted as God's children. John 8 and verse 47. John 8 verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. John 10:29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck. They shall never perish, neither shall any man. Sorry, verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. First John chapter 2 and verse 19. First John chapter 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This is speaking of some who professed to be the Lord's and then went off either openly into the world or into some false heretical doctrine or whatever. But their departure indicated that they were never born of the Spirit, that they were never truly in Christ. Because those who are elect, and only the elect, are ever regenerated and called and justified and adopted. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 onwards, brings both these truths together, that Christ died for the elect, and that the blessings of salvation are only ever bestowed on the elect. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Here we have both things combined. We have the chain of blessings, predestination in eternity past, then calling, justification, glorification in eternity future. Justification, calling and justification in time, glorification in the eternal eternity in the future. And yet he also says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Here Christ's redeeming work is set forth as ensuring the justification of God's elect. That was its intention, that was its purpose, that will prove to be its accomplishment. The elect will be justified because Christ has died. They're not all justified yet, but all will be effectually called and justified as the fruit of Christ's death. And then the passage in Romans 8 goes on to show that this being so, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, because God has ordained that those whom he has called and justified will be glorified. So they will not be separated from the love of Christ. Nothing will separate them from that love. In fact, we are more than conquerors, because God ordains all that comes upon us for our good and to promote growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ, so that even the enemies of God's people are made unwittingly to serve the interests of his church. So all preserving providence and persevering grace will be given. He will not withhold anything necessary to the accomplishment of the glorification of his people. Notice that the non-elect are never in any sense justified. This stands in contrast to some of the federal visionists we mentioned another time, and in particular some of the statements of Doug Wilson, that in order to explain the concept of covenant breaking, instead of explaining it away, as some do, he goes far beyond what is necessary. The covenant breaker grows up under the promise of God to be his God. Breaking the covenant through unbelief, it becomes evident that he rejects the truth of God. But he is not, in any sense, temporarily regenerated or justified. That is overstating it. He grows up under the promise of God and yet despises the truth, and God will not be his God. But in no sense is he temporarily regenerated or justified. He may for a time be accounted by men as among the regenerate and the justified, but he is not regenerated or justified. And that is clear enough from our confession. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ, effectually called justified, adopted, sanctified, and saved, but the elect only. Let us be thankful then, if this golden chain of blessings arising from Christ's death has begun to be bestowed upon us, if we can say in truth, the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us, and that we have been called and justified and will be certainly glorified.